This morning I'm beginning a two-part series, at least that's what I feel God has given me so far, on adopted and adapting. They're very interesting topics biblically that have been on my mind for the last couple of weeks. By the time the Apostle Paul began writing to believers, which was in the middle of the first century, approximately 15 years or so after Jesus' death and resurrection, there was one key doctrine that became part of Paul's teaching, and that was the doctrine of adoption. Now I know when we hear that word doctrine, we all start to yawn and get a little bored and think, oh, I'm going to sit back, this is going to be a sleeper. But I want you to understand that the doctrines of Christianity and the doctrines that we find in the Bible are the true solid foundation that separate us from other religions. Because when people say, well, all religions are the same, they lead to the same place, we turn back to the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, and soon find they don't. That our doctrines stand clear about what we believe, especially as Christians. And the doctrine of adoption was a very important doctrine that's spoken of many times in the New Testament. Paul wrote to the believers in Rome saying, we've not received the spirit of bondage, but we've received the spirit of adoption. In the New International Version, he said the spirit of sonship. Again, he writes to the Romans, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies, speaking of when we are resurrected. When Paul wrote to the Romans, speaking of his own people, he referred to the people of Israel, saying, theirs is the adoption as sons. That the people of Israel, the Jews, were God's chosen and adopted people. He wrote to the believers in Galatia, and he said, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now the Bible teaches that the ancient Hebrews, or the Israelites, that we know as Jews, are God's chosen people. He chose them. Nowhere is there evidence that they did anything to prompt God to choose them. He just simply decided they were to be his people and that through them God would bless the world. And he did through Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. But there was a theological dilemma or problem that arose when Paul set out to take the gospel to the world. And namely when he set out to take the gospel to the Gentiles or non-Jews. There was a theological dilemma. How would non-Jews be included as God's people? That's you and I. They were not God's people by birth, nor by heritage as the Jews were. Something was going to have to happen. And that is, they would have to be adopted by God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that's the Jews. Remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and you were foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He's talking to the people in Ephesus, who were once Gentiles, but now were Christians. He's reminding them, you were once Gentiles. You were not Jews. You weren't included. You were foreigners. But God has adopted you and brought you near. The Gospels support this doctrine, namely the Gospel of John, where John writes in John chapter 1, to all who receive him, meaning Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Children by adoption through believing and receiving Jesus Christ. We become God's children, we're adopted in. Therefore, the Bible teaches that Christians are adopted by God through faith in Jesus Christ and included as children of God along with the Jews. This is a large part of Paul's teaching because it emphasizes a change in identity. And here's where this doctrine becomes very important for you and I today. In October of 2015, it emphasizes a change in identity. In John chapter 15, Jesus sat with his disciples in the upper room the night before he was going to be crucified. He said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, but as it is, you do not belong to the world. I've chosen you out of the world. He's chosen his people. Paul writes to the Romans, you also are among the Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. To the Galatians he wrote, if you belong to Christ, then you are Adam's seed and your heirs according to the promise. What he's saying to the Galatians in that is, if we belong to Christ, we've received Christ and we're his, we become spiritual Jews as Adam's seed and we become heirs to the promise of eternal life for God's chosen people. He wrote to the Thessalonians, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So you see, in Christ Jesus, our identity changes in who we belong to. Christianity, first and foremost, is an identity issue. It's who you are because of whose you are. And it's all based on a relationship where other religions are not. To adopt means to legally take one into one's own family and raise as one's own child. Theologically, adoption means God's act of making otherwise estranged human beings part of God's spiritual family by including them as inheritors of the riches of divine glory. There was no concept of adoption in the legal system of God's people in the Old Testament. Paul borrows this concept from the Roman legal system of his day to teach about the fatherhood of God and God's divine work to include as his children those who were outside the covenantal family. Now, we come to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he, meaning God, chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us before the world was created to be holy and blameless in God's sight. How? Through Christ. In Christ. Those in Christ. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. So, you see, this was an act of love that before the world was even created, God had this plan. He predestined that he was going to adopt all who would be in Christ Jesus as his children. In other words, before the world was created, he made a way for non-Jews to be grafted in and become his children also. And he did it in accordance with his pleasure and will, meaning it made God happy, and it was God's will to do it that way. So let's think about this a little bit. The word predestined in the Greek language comes from two words, one meaning beforehand, which is before the world was created, and the second implying he marked out bounds. So before the world was created, God set bounds and marked out bounds for this plan. God made this plan and said, everyone within these bounds are going to be adopted as my children. Outside the bounds, you're not. He set the bounds. He predestined. He set the standards and the plan of how it would take place. And that was through Jesus Christ, believing in him. And as he did this, he predestined that he would adopt those people, which means the placing as a son as his own children. Now, if you know anything about the culture of that day, the sons were the ones that inherited what belonged to the family, right? The sons were important. This is not being gender specific. It's giving us a concept that we as Christians are inheritors of the divine glory, male or female, as the son would inherit all that was the family's. We will inherit this. Before the world was created, through Jesus Christ, we become as sons to God the Father. And through Jesus, we receive the full rights of sons. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3. He said to them, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you, again, belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." Now let me ask you a question. Right there, Paul is telling us, in Galatians and Ephesians both, that through Jesus Christ, we become adopted as a son would, and we are heirs of the promise of eternal life. And we become Abraham's seed. We become spiritual Jews. And the plan was that when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights of sons. In other words, that was God's plan. God said, "This is the way it's going to be done." God didn't say, "Well, think about it a little bit. You pick what way is right for you. Whatever way you pick, that's good. I'll go with that." God says, "Here's the way that it's done." Why would God put His Spirit in someone else that was outside those bounds that He set? Someone who rejected Him and said, "No, I'm going to live outside these bounds." Why would God put His Spirit in someone like that? And the answer is, He doesn't. He doesn't. The Bible teaches He doesn't. He set the standard. He set the rules. He made the plan. And He said, "This is how it happens. There isn't any other way. This is the way." I want to talk a little bit about how adoption works. We adopt a puppy or a kitten. We choose the animal. We take the animal home. In some cases we cleanse it. We feed it. We protect it. We nourish it. We take care of it. We do the best we can to show love. And what happens? The animal loves us back. Some of you might be adopted, or you might know someone who's been adopted. You know it's a reciprocal relationship. The master adopts, or the owner adopts, or the person, the father or mother, adopts. And the adopted has to receive that adoption and accept it, or it never is valid. And then next week I'm going to talk about adapting, how when you're adopted into a family, you are expected to adapt to their ways, because you're given a new name and you're expected to adhere to the rules of that family. But it's a reciprocal relationship. God adopts us. He puts the adoption out there. And to all who receive, He gave the right to become His children. We accept that adoption and we adopt Jesus as ours. I'll tell you a little story. Back in 2012, there's a longer story behind all this, but back in 2012 we received a phone call wondering if I was still looking for a hunting dog. And we said yes, that we were. And what had happened, a man in the valley that owned this dog died from cancer. The dog was 3 years old, and I went to see Gracie and went to visit the lady that had Gracie, and we talked about it. And what had happened, Gracie was a dog without hope. She was without a master, she was lost, and she was directionless. So as I talked to the lady said, "I'll tell you what, you can come up and take her and spend some time with her, take her out in the fields running around and see how she adopts you. See if she adopts you." So I went the first time and I picked Gracie up. We went for a couple hours out in the fields running around. She did very well. She adopted me fairly well and listened fairly well. I took her back. She went back to the ladies and stayed. I think it was the next week I went and picked her up again and took her for a couple more hours. She was happy. She had a good time. We really connected well, and I took her back. The third time, I think it was, I went to pick Gracie up. We went out and we went running around in the fields for a couple hours, and I took her back to home, to the lady. Told her everything was really working good. Gracie seemed to really be adapting well, and she seemed to be listening really well. But something happened. My window in the driver's side of my car was down. And after a little bit, Gracie went back over to my car, and she jumped up in through the window and got in the back seat and laid down. She was going home with me. Gracie had adopted me. You see, the plan was for me to adopt her. But until she made that decision in her mind and connected herself to me, she still stayed where she was. But she made that decision. She jumped in the back seat. She wasn't going back home. She was going home with me, and she's been home with me ever since. Now, she's not always good. She's not always obedient. But that doesn't change who she is. She still belongs to me, and she's still my dog, and she still aims to please me. You see, and that's how it works with God. His Holy Spirit comes into our lives and works on us, maybe once, and reveals God's glory to us once, reveals the Master to us a second time, and maybe a third time, and sometimes for some people many, many times. It takes a while. But sooner or later, we have to make that decision. Are we going to adopt the Master as our Master? God purposely chose Christians to be His children through faith in Jesus Christ, to be grafted into the family. He did this in love, and He did it freely, and He did it by grace, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Freely. Freely, without obligation. God made this plan and said all you have to do is have faith. And in Him we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the blessings of the inheritance. And He made this known to us according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. In other words, that was the purpose that Jesus came, to make a way for us to be adopted as His children. He did it freely, He did it in love, and He did it by grace. You know, folks, Let me continue first of all. He tells the Ephesians that in Christ we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In other words, God, who works out everything for the purpose of His will, not ours. It wasn't our plan. It wasn't our purpose. It wasn't our will. It was all God's. We were chosen according to His plan, because we were the first to hope in Christ, he says to the Ephesians. And he says, you were included when you heard the word of truth. And the Bible tells us faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the truth of God's word. They heard the word. They had faith. And having believed, he says, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You see, this is the glory of God's adoption. Guarantees our inheritance. We were chosen having believed. We are included with the chosen and are promised the inheritance of the chosen, which is the redemption of the believers. I want you to think about this for a moment. An all-powerful, divine, holy God adopting imperfect humans as His children. It doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make a bit of sense. But Paul says in chapter 2, verse 7, that God did this to show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
In other words, Paul did it, or God did this, God adopted us to express His grace. So we can say to people, I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why God saved me. But I know He did. I don't deserve it, but I know He did. I didn't do anything, but I know He did, because His Word says He did. That's His grace. He did it to express His grace and His glory. Let me give you an example. You have the person and the pet. The person cleans the pet up, feeds the pet, protects the pet. The pet sits there thinking, wow, you feed me, you protect me, you cleanse me, you must be God. You see, that's the concept. God did it to express His glory, and we say, wow. Wow, God. And He did it for His own pleasure because it pleased Him to do it that way. To put it bluntly, Paul says, this is a gift of God. An offer of relationship, an inheritance of redemption when the times will have reached their fulfillment. I want to ask you personally, will you recognize Jesus when you stand before Him someday? Or more importantly, will He recognize you? Someone might say, well, I don't deserve it. And that's true. Of course we don't. That's why it's called grace. That's what separates us from the other religions of the world. Whether people call our God and the other gods the same or not, our God is not the same. Our God is a God of grace who sent Jesus to undeserving people. All we have to do is have faith and believe. In other religions, we have to do something. It's based on our works. And if we're not good enough or haven't done the right works, we're not going up. We're going down. You see, there's a difference there. Our God is a God of grace. It's a gift of God, an offer of relationship, redemption, that we don't deserve, but God does it for His own glory, to express His grace. Someone else might say, well, look what I've done. I was born in a good family. My mom and my dad went to that church all their life. We built that church. I deserve it. Why wouldn't God choose me? Let me give you another example. The person in the pet sits there and says, wow, you feed me, you cleanse me, you protect me. I must be God. There's a big difference, isn't there? You see, there's a big difference. Who is in control? The perspective of God's grace. God, You chose us. You feed us. You protect us. You cleanse us. You must be God. There's a big difference in that concept. In other religions, it's all about, wow, look what I've done. Look who I am. I'm in control. I chose God. And God laughs and says, no, you didn't. My plan before you were even born was that through Jesus Christ, I choose you. You must receive Christ to be in the bounds of My plan. There is no other way. Some people say, well, your Bible says that. That's not what my Scripture says. I know that. And that's what makes our Scripture superior. Because we have a resurrected Christ who taught, who promises. And we have a Word that's living and sharper than a two-edged sword and relevant in our day today. Look what Paul says here. God chose us, not we chose Him. If we did the choosing, the Bible would tell us. Jesus would say, I came to die so that if you choose Me, by you choosing Me, you can go to heaven. No. He says, I came to die that through Me, through believing. He said to God in His prayer the night before He died, all that You have given Me is Mine. He said to His disciples, I chose you out of the world. When one truly understands the concept that God adopted them, the only appropriate response can be to praise God and worship God in thanksgiving and live accordingly. You see, some people say, well, with an attitude like that, that's pride. That's pride. I'm God's chosen. I'm adopted. I'm God's adopted child. That's prideful. No, it's not. For the humble-hearted, true Christian, that's assurance.
That's assurance that God is always going to take care of us, protect us, cleanse us, and feed us. That's assurance. It's not prideful. It's biblical. And it, folks, it's the assurance that we hold on to with dear life as we live out our lives. We're God's children through Jesus Christ. We're His adopted children. And He's going to take care of us. It shows us today, it shows you and I today personally, that God's eternal personal love for you and for me, before you were born, He had a plan for you. Stop and think about that. Not as a congregation, but as an individual. Me. God thought about me when He put this plan into action. Personally. You might have thought you were born and God saw you and decided to save you. But in fact, He chose to save you before you were born, before the world was created, and He'll love you long after the world passes away because you are His adopted child. One last thing and I'm done, and I want to make this statement. In our book of discipline, and you will hear other pastors teach that it's our choice, that we make a choice. As United Methodists, our book of discipline states that in our natural state of birth, we are unable in and of ourselves to make that choice because we are corrupted by sin. Okay? That apart from the saving grace of God working in our lives, choosing us and quickening us or giving us life, we are not able to make that choice ourselves. It is not up to us. It is up to God. And when we are faced with an eternal, divine, powerful God that says, "You, here's my plan. Do you accept it?" Our responsibility is to say, "Yes. Yes." It's then we are brought into the bounds of God's plan and become God's adopted children. A new identity. A new identity. Cleansed, fed, protected, taken care of, and provided for. You must be God. That's the doctrine of adoption. And that's what caused Paul to say, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's pray. God, we pray this morning.